As always, it's a privilege to be here with you this morning. It's hard to believe, but we're wrapping up the series, Resurrection Revolution, that we started several weeks ago. We started on Palm Sunday, and this morning we're going to be looking at a revolutionary purpose. You know, there's many ways in which to live, in which to go through life, but there's only one way in which we've been created to go. There's many paths we can choose, but there's only really one path that God created each and every one of us to do with him, and that's to know him and make him known. To know him and make him known. In fact, embracing God's presence and sharing his love with others not only transforms our hearts, but it also inspires positive change in the world around us, fostering real change, healing and hope and challenges, and maintains this amazing relationship we have with Christ. In Jesus himself, he gives us this, what we call Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And I love the fact he gives us this Great Commission, but he ends it by saying, and by the way, I'm with you. You're not alone. In fact, his very spirit indwells us on the journey that we have with him. And he speaks of what baptism, he talks about this amazing outward sign of this inward work that baptism is. And not only teaching the scriptures, but also living out the scriptures. And here's the amazing reality. The Great Commission is a task empowered by the Holy Spirit, where believers rely on his guidance, strength, and presence as they engage in evangelism and discipleship. But this is the revolutionary purpose that God has created us for. And I believe that if we were to be very honest, that until we find this purpose, we sort of go adrift. I think it's why even those our culture would call highly successful are still quite restless. Because they may have all the things that the world desires, but they're not living with the purpose that God created them for. They don't understand what it means to truly know him and make him known. Knowing God, we find in Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. And of course, he's talking about humility, isn't he? He's saying, hey, if you got wisdom, great. Don't boast in it. If you're successful, great. Just don't boast in it. Boast in one thing, and that is that you know God. Boast in who he is in your life. In other words, if you were going to magnify any part of your life, magnify one, Jesus. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I don't have anything else to magnify. That's not a bad thing. You have nothing else competing then. Magnify Jesus. Let people see what God is doing in and through you. And just as I shared during the child dedication early in the service, it's not that any of us in this room are perfect. We're being perfected, right? Paul himself said, not that I've already obtained it, but I'm pressing toward it. And he gives us this amazing invitation. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe that all of us can make that invitation to others. You say, well, you don't know where I am on my journey. If you're focused on Jesus, then you can be an example. He said, well, I stumbled yesterday. Well, guess what? You can be an example of what it looks like to stumble and get back up and walk with Jesus. How many of us need that example? All of us have the ability to grow in this amazing knowing of God. The culmination of knowing God is not just sort of a factual knowledge, but it's a deep delight and joy in him. It's not just gathering together and learning stuff. Although the stuff is important, right, church? You want to get to lunch, right? Right, church? But it's not just knowing stuff, it's knowing him. And as we explore his word, as we grow in his word together, we have a greater understanding of who he is. So as we walk with him, we understand the God who's leading us, who's guiding our steps, who gave us this amazing purpose. To know God and to make him known is to know God and know his love and love him. And to love him is to genuinely make him known in word and deed. The verse we've been constantly coming back to in this series, constantly coming back to, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. A new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 emphasizes that the old, referring to our old sinful nature, our past mistakes, the bondage of sin, has passed away, which indicates a break from our former way of life and a liberation from the power of sin. If that doesn't get you excited this morning, I don't know what will. I mean, that's the old person with the old consequence. But when we come to Christ, we become a new person. We have a whole new status with the Lord. Before we come to Christ, the scriptures really simply calls us sinners. And you may have heard me say this before, one of my least favorite bumper stickers, which is really a lot to say because I don't like bumper stickers. But my least favorite bumper sticker is I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know why I don't like it? Because it's bad theology. I don't like it because it's not biblical. Now why? Because that says we're still sinners. But the scripture says you're not anymore. You say, well, I struggle with sin. No. We're saints when we come to Christ. You've heard me say this. You've been around here many times. It's so important we wrapped our mind around it. We were sinners, but we're now saints saved by grace. You say, well, I've heard that so much, I believe it. Well, that's okay. You're just believing something wrong. I'll let that sink in at lunch. Because the scripture clearly states that if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You're not defined by what you did. You're not even defined by what you do now. You're defined by what Jesus did on the cross. That's what defines us. I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I don't care what the world says about me. What do they know? They don't seem to be getting a whole lot right lately. Come on now. But I'm going to trust the one who created the world, who gave us his word, who brings us victory. And he says, I'm his child. I'm new in him. See, while the initial transformation is instantaneous upon salvation, the Christian life is also a journey of ongoing transformation. Have you seen that to be true? Which involves growing in faith, renewing our minds through God's word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us continually. You know, again, it's not that I am what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm a work in progress. God is transforming me. And this journey I get to have with him begins because I know him through Jesus Christ. Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and my identity rests in his hands. Therefore, I want to walk according to the way he's created me, my purpose that he's created me for, not try to go the many other ways that the world offers. See, believers' revolutionary purpose begins with knowing God. The 18th century preacher and theologian John Wesley said thus. He says, when God transforms a heart, he transforms a life, and that life transforms the world. Now, by the way, we get ourselves in trouble when we try to transform the world before God transforms us. Like, if he's not transforming us, we're not going to transform the world. And the way that we transform the world is by allowing him to do a work in us and then through us. And so we got to begin always with knowing God, always coming back to knowing God, and then we make him known. Acts 1:8, an amazing account in scripture. It's right before Jesus' ascension, and wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Here's Jesus talking, and next thing you know, he's gone. He's up there. I love it. An angel comes by and says, what are you looking at? Like we all wouldn't be gawking. Can you imagine? Speechless. Before Jesus ascends to heaven, Acts 1:8, he says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, we could camp there for a long time, church. You'll receive what? Power. Power. Is God true to his promises? But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You'll receive power. That word power is where we get our word dynamite from. You know? It's like explosive power. It's uncontainable power. And that's why we see this amazing progression that we're witnesses to the world. And I love this verse because there's some people who say, well, why do we do things over there? Why don't we take care of our own neighborhood first? As if God is so small that he can't do both. Have you heard of walking and chewing gum at the same time? And so here's the progression. It says, well, wait a minute, isn't there a progression here? Well, it's a progression because you'll find the book of Acts. That's the progression we see in the book of Acts. But by the way, I don't know if you've realized, we're like 2,000 years after that. And he's like, look, you should share Christ like in your home, in your workplace, in your school, in your community, and by the way, to the ends of the earth. And we get to do that as a church family. We get to impact continents. We support missionaries in Africa. We support missionaries now in Australia. We support missionaries right across the street, right down the road. And by the way, each and every one of us who are in Christ are everyday missionaries. Wherever we find ourselves. I pray every morning as a church family that wherever we set our foot, we'll claim it for Jesus. From the moment we get out of bed to when we get right back into it, man, aren't there some days you leave it and you just look at that thing and say, I can't wait to see you later. But everything in between, you know? Everything in between. See, Acts 1:8 is not just a mandate for a select group of missionaries or leaders, but applies to every believer and underscores the responsibility and privilege of all Christians to participate in God's mission. Of reaching all people with the love and message of Christ everywhere. The late great evangelist Billy Graham said it this way. We're not called to keep the light to ourselves, but to be torchbearers, illuminating the world with God's truth and love. I love the picture there, isn't it? Illuminating the world with God's truth and love. Paul writes in Romans 10:13-15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, first of all, everyone. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will be saved. You say, but what about everyone? But you don't know about everyone. Come on now. But catch this. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. I was in college and I had shared on a college ministry night. Had brought the message. I was a college student myself, and afterwards I was handed a note by one of the leaders of the college ministry, and he wrote on the bottom, you have beautiful feet. I wasn't real familiar with this passage at that time. And I thought, first of all, have you ever seen my feet? They are not beautiful. And later I went up to him, I said, man, this is a weird note. And he took me to this passage. I went, oh, okay. Now I got it. Still a weird note, by the way, but now I got it. How beautiful are the feet. But you know something? The preaching being spoken of here isn't just what I'm doing this morning. We preach with our lives. We preach when we're in fellowship with other people. We preach when we're at work. The question isn't, by the way, whether or not we preach. It's what message are we preaching? Everyone preaches. Everyone has a message. Everyone's writing a testimony. The question is, what testimony are you writing? Is it one that speaks of Jesus or self? Is it one that speaks of hope or despair? Is it one that's saying, look, I'm trusting, I'm learning, I'm growing? Or is it one that says, you know what, I sort of do the church thing, but I don't get real serious about it. There's only one way, church. One purpose. Know God and make him known. See, as believers, we're called to actively participate in the mission of making God known, bringing the good news of his grace, love, and salvation to the ends of the earth, fulfilling this great commission, and reflecting Christ's love and his deep love for humanity. In fact, believers' revolutionary purpose begins with knowing God, but is fulfilled by making him known. The recently passed Tim Keller wonderfully noted, he said, the most revolutionary act a believer can do is to live out the gospel in a world that desperately needs the hope it offers. The believer's revolutionary purpose begins with knowing God intimately, experiencing his transformative power, and living by his will. And the journey of faith is fulfilled by actively engaging and making God known to others and sharing the life-changing message of his love, grace, and salvation. As believers embrace the mission, it not only transforms us, it impacts society. It changes those in our homes, in our workplace, our schools, and in our communities. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about not just the purpose, but the idea of knowing God and what place he's meant to be in our life. Like what position he's meant to have in our life. And I, at one time, drew up here a whole diagram, and I was going to do it again, but I thought it would clutter the stage with child dedication, and my drawing's horrible anyway, so stick with me and sort of picture it in your mind. Some people say, you know, it's God first, family second, then work, and there's a real problem with that because sometimes you need to go to work. Sometimes you need to be with your family. Sometimes there's times God calls you to serve, and sometimes you're with your family, you need to go to work, and sometimes you're at work, maybe you need to go to your family. How do you keep all that in order? It's not by putting God first, it's by putting God in the very center of all things in your life. And then everything else is around him. You get the picture? And God directs us. God gives us wisdom. He says, no, you need to focus on work right now. No. Go focus on the family. But at the whole time, our main focus is on him. It's on him. He directs our steps. And I was thinking about that. And I thought, that's the same with this purpose then. If our call is to know God, God's in the center, and we're to make him known, then really that idea is in the center of all things. And I've heard people say, that, and I've said it even, that you have this main purpose of knowing God and making him known, then all these secondary purposes, and that could be your job or your vocation or your family as a father, wife, you know, all these different things. But I want to share it a little different this morning. As I've been praying this week, knowing this message was coming. And that is, if you put your purpose in the middle, which is to know God and make him known, it radiates to every other area. I want you to think about that for a minute. That the greatest gift that these parents and we can give to kids is Jesus. Like if they could learn what it means to live on the purpose that God's created them for, they're going to end life really well. If not, then they're going to go astray on all these other ways that the world offers. And we've all sort of been there, right? Done that. If we can spare them that, how many of you think that would be a good thing? When we go to our workplaces. Now, by the way, mine's here, so I'm surrounded by hopefully a lot of Christians. I can only speak for me. The Bible says, I can't be secure in anyone else's faith. I just have to be secure in mine. But I think they're there. And yet, when we're at a workplace, it changes if we realize that our purpose there is to do our job, but it's really, first and foremost, to glorify Christ. Any employer here have a problem with someone glorifying Christ at work? Doesn't get what it means to glorify Christ. Who doesn't want an employee who's loving, caring, selfless, giving? Any employer out there want to hire that person? So if we stay with our purpose, we're better parents. So if we stay with our purpose, we're better workers and leaders. And if we stay on purpose, Not only are we transformed, the world is transformed around us. You say, well, what if they don't follow us? Here's the good news. You can't make someone follow you. But we are responsible for living a life worthy of following. And that's only possible, not by our own strength, but by God's. Jesus said, and by the way, I'm with you always. Remember that this week. Remember that this week if you're a parent and you have a parent challenge. God, you're here. Give me wisdom. Remember that when you're at work and that one person who always just sort of knows how to trigger you does it. God, you're here. Remember that when you have that appointment at the doctor's that you wish you didn't have. God is here. He won't leave us or forsake us. Church, do we believe that? What power we have in Christ. Imagine a city skyline illuminated by countless lights, each representing a believer shining the light of Christ. And as these lights come together, they create a radiant beacon of hope and transformation, piercing through the darkness. I was picturing that as us as Crosswinds. That as one candle brought into a dark room will illuminate that entire room. Have you ever done that? You ever see how kids just love to do that with a flashlight? Something just sort of amazing about it. Think about that light. That's your light. But think about all of us taking our light and doing this together. What a difference. What a difference it can make. Look around the room for a minute. Be creepy for a second. There's a lot of people in this room. Dare I say there's very few gatherings this size. I'm not talking about churches, period. Anywhere in this region, really. Think about it. I mean, not concerts and all that stuff. I'm just saying, like, on a daily basis, most offices don't have this many people in it. What would it look like if we support each other and just live for Jesus? How would that transform our homes, our workplace, our schools, our region? What do you think it will do in us? See, as God has blessed our gathering this morning, here's my prayer. I pray He will bless our scattering. As we leave this place, empowered by God's Spirit, to live out a revolutionary purpose of knowing God and making Him known, bringing light and life as everyday missionaries. The places where we live, work, go to school, and play. That's our communities. And I want to let you know, if you're a follower of Christ, I know we can do it. How do I know? Because He said it. And God's always true to His word. Amen? And if you've yet to receive Christ, don't be on the outside looking in. This morning, everyone who calls on my name and the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Everyone. Whether you're watching online, whether you're down in the chapel, whether you're here, listening to this later, everyone. So I pray none of us leave this place, none of us leave the sound of my voice without saying yes to Jesus. And oh Lord God, help me know you and make you known. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for meeting with us in this place. It's not that you're not with us all the time, because you are. You're everywhere. And yet there's something remarkable when we come together and put your glory on display. And I do pray, as you've blessed this gathering, that as we scatter, that, Lord, we would be very aware that you go with us. That we wouldn't take this message as a burden, but, Lord God, it's an amazing, amazing opportunity. An opportunity to commit ourselves to knowing you, to making you known, to allow your purpose to radiate as in every area in which we live, in every facet in which we exist, as a parent, as an employee, as an employer, hanging out with friends. God, I pray that if there's anyone who's yet to receive you as Lord and Savior, that even now they would call upon your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for our sins, being resurrected for our salvation, for gifting us with your Spirit, for giving us the opportunity to say yes with you and live the way you've called us to live on purpose with you, to live this revolutionary purpose in our life. And we're able to do it because you love us so much. Thank you for your love. Fill us with it so we can share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen.